Good morning. A couple of quick announcements. Agape will meet tomorrow, 6:30 at the Barbecue Center. On the 26th, the Silly Youth will be going bowling at the YMCA in Lexington from 1:30 to 3:30. On the 27th, Lutheran Men in Mission at 7 o'clock. February the 2nd, we'll be doing the church audits. Make sure you have all your audit reports ready. And I believe there's a schedule put out for what time you show up to do your audit. 23rd will be the congregational meeting. After the congregational meeting, there will be somebody here from the Senate office. I believe Pastor Phil Tonneson will be here to start the call process and talk to the congregation about that. So make sure you're here today, because that's very important that we start moving forward on the call process. Time and talent sheets. If you hadn't filled your time and talent sheet, we'd really like to have that today, no later than the end of the week. If you have not filled out a time and talent sheet, you will not get scheduled on any weeks of doing what you normally do. So please fill out the time and talent sheet if you have not. I have a card here. It says, "Dear Gala, Tony, and Agape Friends Circle, what a wonderful blessing to receive the beautiful handcrafted prayer shawls, and especially at a time when our spirits needed lifting. You are so thoughtful, and this means so much to all of us. As we all know too well, Alzheimer's is a horrible disease, and it's very difficult to watch its progression and the decline it causes to our loved ones every day. To us, being caretakers is a gift of love from us for our mother, as she took care of us. And although we experience joy and sadness, it comes straight from our hearts. We are thankful for our Lord and Savior, in whom we put our trust, and thankful for you and all your kindness, support, thoughts, and prayers. As expressed by Janet's prayer of blessing, this gift from you truly does cradle us in hope, joy, peace, and love. Thank you. God's blessings to you. Love in Christ. Kathy, Teresa, and Donna, and Mitty, daughters of Betty June Ball." This is one of our mom's cards that she saved. She loves roses and tended them for many years. Card with the roses on it. So, have birthdays today. Happy birthday to Stephen Frank, Angie Laster, Burnett Monteith, Judy Thomason, Jennifer Lohr, and we have no anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Property committee meeting, and we do have some prayer shawls.
So this first one is for Edwina, our custodian. Her dad passed away this week. His funeral was on Friday, so if you will bless this for her. And then this one is for my grandson that's going to be born in February or maybe January. His name will be Lincoln Murphy, so if you'll bless this.
Thank you.
Thank you. invite you to stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
With Jesus, when we
Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you and joyfully find you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. That's better. Okay, I'm going to put you guys to work today. I have some fresh food, and I have a little farm. And in my farm, I have a chicken. I have a honeybee. I have a pig. And I have a goat. So your job is to figure out which foods go with which animal. Are you ready? So I'm going to give the big kids two. And I'm going to give the little kids one. And when you're ready, whoops, let me give you two different ones, Gracie. If there's extra, when you're done with your two, you can come back. Now I'm going to give this one to Isabel because you know what this is, right, Isabel? Yeah, that's honey. We're pretending. Okay, ready? Go put it in the right bowl. Here's another one. Chicken. Brody, you got done? Here's another one.
What is this?
Cheese. Bacon.
What is this?
Bacon.
Cheese.
That's all. All right, sit back down and let's see how you did. Okay, so what foods would a chick give us, which would become a grown chicken? Gavin, eggs. And when the chicken gets older and isn't producing eggs anymore, unfortunately, what does the chicken give us, Isabel? Chicken. All right. I'm going to move this one. What does a honeybee give us? Honey. Okay. What does a pig? Well, we got a little bit of chicken in here. Sorry, piggy. What does a pig give us? Raise your hand. Tell me, Brody. Bacon. I love bacon. And what does a goat give us? Dairy, all kinds of dairy, right, Rosalie? We've got yogurt in here. We've got milk. We've got different kind of cheeses. Now, raise your hand if you can tell me, where do we go to get this stuff? Where do we go? Raya, does your mama buy this stuff? Do you get it? Where do you get it?
At the store.
At the grocery store, right? And guess what, guys? Sometimes I know Isabel doesn't want to go to the grocery store, and I bet you're the same way, but you are so lucky to get to go to the grocery store, because in some countries and in some families, they can't just go to the grocery store and buy these things. So I've already told them this, but our church, our youth group, while we were practicing for our play, we raised $130. And so we have bought three chickens, a honeybee, whatever that is, yeah, a pig, and a goat. So can we give them a round of applause? And so, guys, some family now is able to have all this food because of you. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for providing for us. Help us provide for others. Amen. All right, if you want to come to Children's Church, line up, and maybe some of the older kids could grab one of my bowls here so we can, okay? Okay. You're going to listen.
is from Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made me mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength," he says. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm today is from Psalm 40. Be read responsibly. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, "Here I am, in the scroll of the book it is written of me."
I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance to the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. The second lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we try to adjust this mic to fit my head, I'm reminding of, for any of you who've been around a while, Jay Leno used to have a feature on his show from time to time, and the feature was, "Is His Head Bigger Than Mine?" And it had all these people, and it would show their head next to Jay Leno, and his was almost always bigger. And that's sort of the way I feel when I try to wear these mics and get them positioned so that you can hear what I say. The folks in Hollywood love to shower themselves with awards, and you may have, if you pay attention to those things, recently seen the Golden Globes, or in the last week or two, the Oscar nominations frenzy. There are awards in other fields, journalism and literature, like the Pulitzer, and there's a Nobel Prize. Even religious folks have things like Book of the Year, or there's a Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. But no field does it like the entertainment industry. The Golden Globes, People's Choice, your Film Critics Award, the Emmy Awards, the Cannes Film Festival Awards, the Tony Awards, the Grammy Awards, the American Film Institute Awards, the Los Angeles Film Critics Awards, the Screen Actor Guild Awards, the Academy Awards, and it goes on. There are lots of awards if you're in the entertainment industry. It seems like the only thing they do more than make shows is to give each other awards. And of course, those awards frequently result in lots more people going to see the shows or buying the things that get the awards. And the way those ceremonies are carried out, you may have watched, or if not, certainly be aware of, they start off with a big red carpet. And all these people go out in whatever their expensive fashions may be, line the red carpet, the reporters come. There are people that go line up even days ahead of time to see them, to be close to them when they're getting these awards. They're interviewed, they're on TV, lots of awards. Driving up in limousines, getting out. They even have special little gift bags they give these people. I've often thought because they are so poor, they need to have samples of makeup and so on, which they are given as they arrive. This is a big deal for much of our society and culture. And it's really amazing how much excitement can be generated when people come by, if you're there, when some of these big names come by. What's striking in our gospel today is the contrast that John shows us. There's never been anyone more important than Jesus. Yet John makes very clear that without divine help, even John the Baptist would not have seen him as standing out. Even John the Baptist said that he came to see him and know who he was when he saw the Spirit of God descend on him and remain on him. Jesus had no red carpet, no lines of people looking for him, no celebrities gathered to celebrate him, no people wanting his autograph. He simply walked through. Most people barely noticed him as anything other than one more wandering peasant. But John, thanks to God's revelation, saw in him the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A familiar image for us. If you go in almost any traditional church, you'll see at least some images of a lamb in pictures or elsewhere in the church, maybe in the stained glass. Those images are important, and they're identified with Jesus. And it's something that we remember and think of. But the only place in the Bible that that phrase is used is in the first chapter of John. You would think that it's so important in our life and our congregations that it would be repeated over and over, but it's not. It's just in that gospel. No other New Testament writer will use the exact same phrase about Jesus. Even today, scholars debate what John meant when he called Jesus the Lamb of God. Why was he the only one who used that phrase? The Jewish people, when they thought of the Messiah and looked for the Messiah, were looking for a king or a warrior or a great leader. Certainly not a lamb. When we think of a lamb, we think of something gentle and weak, something that can wander off and get lost, that has no real power. And yet this image is used by John. The only other place that it appears is in the book of Revelation, where John the Revelator mentions an image of a lamb, but it's still not the same phrase that John the Baptist used. John calls Jesus a lamb. It could be seen in a couple of ways in the world he lived in. One was based on its gentleness and meekness and vulnerability. But there was another history of the lamb in John's world. And that was of a lamb as a sacrifice, something that was given up and sacrificed to God, and on occasion sacrificed for sin. To call Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, a lamb, would have gone against everything that people thought and believed about it. Now we have this image of a lamb, and it's related somehow to sin, because of John, the lamb that would take away the sin of the world. It seems striking, going against what we would expect of anything to be said about God's Son, Jesus. And yet that's what John said. And John repeats it. It's not just in there once, but he says it again. This reference to the lamb that was slain, John of Patmos would say in Revelation, was also anticipated in Isaiah 53 in a reference to a lamb being led silently to the slaughter. But this image of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has become central to our church, to our understanding of who Jesus was and what's important. The second thing that's really important in today's lesson is to note that questions are a key part of what John reveals to us. The disciples who left John to follow Jesus want to know, what are you doing? Who are you? What are you about? And Jesus asks them, what are you seeking? What do you need? What's important to you? Back when I was in college and high school, I worked in a grocery store for a number of years. I enjoyed it. Some days since then, I've wished I was back there on occasion. But I enjoyed working there. Started as a bag boy, for those of you old enough to remember when grocery stores had bag boys. And then later went to stocking, and later had my own section and checked people out. We were busy. But one of the things I liked most about the job was people. Talking to people. In fact, a couple of times I got in a little trouble with my boss because I talked too much to the customers. But instead of being about what I was supposed to be doing, I was slowing things up. But I liked the people, and one of the things I liked to do was answer their questions. If they needed to find something, if they had a question about what we sold, I enjoyed that opportunity to respond to their questions, to help them in some way find an answer to what they were looking for. In John's gospel, questions are not the marks of being dumb or ignorant. They're the marks of someone who's trying to find something, trying to figure something out. And Jesus says, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? And that same question is a question for us. What are we seeking when we gather to worship God? What are we looking for when we follow Jesus? What do we think we're going to find? What do we need? What do we wrestle with in our life? What motivates us? Jesus poses his question to two of John's disciples who've just heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and they want to follow him. And they want to know where he's staying. So they're asking him a question, but his answer is, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? When they ask where he's staying, they want to know where he's going to remain or abide. And that word abide will show up again in Jesus' teaching, those who abide with me abide with the Father. Come to me, abide with me. We even use that term in some of our hymns. They want to know not just a place, but they want to know where he is going to be, where he will remain with them if they follow him and stay with him. Questions are important in our faith. We have questions of God when things go wrong. Do we also have questions sometimes when things go right? Why me? Or, as someone said, why not me? Why do I have an easier life than others? Why did I recover from my illness? Questions are a key part of a life of faith. Sometimes we get the impression that we should, as faithful Christians, think or know we have all the answers. But in fact, a life of faith is a life of questioning, figuring out where we fit in God's kingdom, figuring out who Jesus is calling us to be, figuring out how we are to live out our faith. Too often in the modern world, and our culture especially, when we search for things, we're searching for things, not for people, not for answers, not for solutions, but stuff. And Jesus, when he talks to these people, is asking them, what are they looking for? Who are you looking for? They want to know him, and so they want to know where he abides and where he stays. So a life of faith involves understanding Jesus as a Lamb of God, but it also involves asking questions as we seek to more deeply understand Jesus and our faith and who God wants us to be. If you talk to me about movies much, you'll find out I love science fiction. And one of the big things in science fiction, if you watch certain kinds of movies, is a little theory called the butterfly effect. And some of you may have heard of it. You may even have heard of it in science. And that's the effect that supposedly if a butterfly flaps its wings in some jungle, it may stir up a hurricane or a tornado halfway around the world because of the fact that everything is connected together and somehow expands and relates its effect. The thing is, butterfly effect can also be positive, not just negative. John, to his disciples, bore witness to the fact that Jesus was the one promised by God. That one simple phrase that the disciples of John overheard, the Lamb of God, led them to go seeking Jesus to find out who he was. A simple little question. Small things can have huge effects on other people. We can make a big difference in someone's life by asking the right question at the right time, or by offering a shoulder, or by simply offering a listening ear at the right moment, or by raising a question that will help them think through their struggles and difficulties in life. The simple exchange that took place today involved a very few words. It's a short question, and yet this is critical to the life of faith and the church, because Jesus' answer, those three little words, come and see, that answer ripples out, and Andrew invites Peter, and Peter eventually invites countless others to come, and they come to believe in the Messiah, all from three little words. And these three little words are simply an invitation. Come and see. He doesn't say, have you given your heart to me? Or do you know the spiritual laws? He doesn't say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He simply says, come and see. Simple words. When we talk about witnessing and sharing our faith, lots of people freeze up and get nervous and anxious because they don't know what to say, or they're afraid they'll say the wrong thing. Jesus simply said, come and see. If people want to know about our faith or what we believe or why we believe, we don't have to have all the answers. All we have to say is, come and see. See why I believe what I believe. See why I gather to worship with people I know. See why we try to serve people in the community. I don't have all the answers. I'm not asking you to make a lifelong commitment. I'm simply telling you, if you want to know who Jesus is and why Jesus is important to me, come and see. And I will share with you my life. Not the answers, not the questions, not the demands, but simply share with you my faith, a simple faith that has room for questions, that has room for difficult ideas, that has room for you, because Jesus came for all people. So if we, like a simple butterfly, flap our wings, invite someone. It's up to God to do the work and make the connection. In this time of transition, it's important to remember that our task and our call is always the same, to invite others to Christ, to come and see who Jesus is to us, and to come and see how Jesus changes the world, not because he won awards or arrives in a limousine, or rules a country, but simply because he came in love to give himself for those who, like Andrew, wondered where he was and then invited others to come and see where Jesus was and who he was. Amen. Thank you.
you'll follow along with me on page 7 in the bulletin, we will go through the rite of installation for the interim pastor. Today we begin a new pattern in our faith journey here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church as we welcome Pastor Joseph Talent as our interim pastor. In the coming days, let us support one another by our continued presence at worship, our sharing in the means of grace, and the words of welcome.
May God strengthen our community and relationships with power and new insight.
Let us seek a renewal of our ministries through the naming of our talents and strengths as we prepare for the future.
May God help us to identify one another's gifts and open ourselves to their presence and challenge.
Let us rejoice in the fruits of partnership in Jesus Christ Jesus as our Holly Grove Lutheran Church Committee and our Bishop Staff Person, Pastor Phil Tonneson, work together during the call process while Pastor Talent partners with our Congregation Council to provide congregational leadership.
May God grant us patience, a sense of humor, and the courage to speak the truth in love.
O Lord, as your church has continually sought your will, sustain and inspire the work of the call committee.
May God's Spirit guide the decisions of this congregation.
Let us ask God's empowerment of all leadership positions, the staff, congregational council, committees, and all those who do good deeds and perform necessary tasks in this congregation.
Help us, Lord, to work together in harmony of spirit and purpose.
Pastor Talent, will you lead, comfort, and reflect with us during this time of transition?
I will, by God's help.
To you, members of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, will you support Pastor Talent in our ministry together, knowing that it will be brief, but the results enduring? Help us to value this time together as a reminder that our work continues. Our Lord calls us to serve as disciples and empowers us by the Holy Spirit each and every day.
Lord, enable us to live our days in praise of your glory. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us continue with the prayers of the day. Thank you, Almighty God, for granting such faith to Peter that he could boldly confess your Son as the Christ. Thank you for promising that the gates of hell cannot withstand your faith-filled church. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin that the church pronounces in Jesus' name and at his command. Cause your church to boldly confess Jesus is your Son, the Savior and Messiah of the world. Teach it to properly discern sin and to faithfully preach repentance from sin. Strengthen it to generously forgive the repentant sinner and to be pastoral in withholding forgiveness from the persistently unrepentant. Use the church to be the means by which Jesus draws new disciples to himself. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Make faithful disciples of everyone in this congregation. Give us willing and trust-filled hearts. Help us to use our spiritual gifts to glorify you and to build up our community of faith. Make us bold to tell others, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come and see. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Bless the church wherever it is persecuted on account of witnessing to Jesus. Be its patient defender and turn the enemies from hatred to repentance. We also lift our prayers in fervent appeal for missionaries throughout the world, for our seminaries, church colleges, and schools, and for all who seek to proclaim the gospel in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Enlighten the minds and purify the hearts of all those who lead the nations. Turn them away from the false gods of power, prestige, and ideology, and teach them your ways. Heal the divisions that beset our own country. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and for all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Bestow your favor upon our nation so that we may be a beacon of righteousness, justice, and freedom for all. Lord, in your mercy. Stoop down, O Lord, and hear the cry of all who are afflicted by any kind of suffering, sickness, or sorrow, especially Burnett, Gary, Bill, Walter, the family of Sheila Haynes, Aldine, Scott, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Sharon, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Janine, Noah, James, Lore, Judy, Robert, Buddy, Gary, the family of Garland Essex, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Jordan, Madison, the family of Ben Klein, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Trinity Trent, our service men and women all over the world, those who are unemployed and looking for work. Restore all of them to wholeness in body, mind, and spirit, and to all who love them, that together we may proclaim your faithfulness and deliverance. Lord, in your mercy. Most gracious Father, we thank you for your faithful servants who have died to us, but whose lives are safely in your hand. Sustain us with that same strong and merciful hand. Equip us with every spiritual gift we need to trust and follow Jesus and to bear the light of his forgiveness and goodness to everyone around us. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, for all is now ready.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
On page 5 of the bulletin, as united people of God,
peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.